Everybody, good to see you all, your lovely faces. So this morning we're going to be continuing with our Refresh series, and we're going to be looking at getting into reading the Bible every day. So the title of my talk is Soul Food. So I liked Rachel's little kids a lot earlier. That was fantastic. So for those of you that don't know me, my name is Ruth. This is not working already. It did work. Okay, amazing. Ooh, yay. Don't touch it, Chris. It's all good. Okay, there we are. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Ruth Middleton, and I'm on the leadership team here at River Church, and my main responsibility on the team is to look after our young people, Edge. So thank you for being in here this morning, guys. That means a lot to me. I do that alongside my husband, Mark, and our little boy, Arthur, or Littleton, as the young people call him. Just on that note, Edge parents, because I'm now speaking today, we're not going to have the meeting today after the meeting. We're going to have it next Sunday, just in case you didn't get the email. I love looking after Edge. It's fantastic. I've been a Christian for about 18 years now, which I scarily realise is roughly half my life. And in that time, I would say that I've probably mainly connected with God through reading the Bible. I literally love the Bible. You might remember a couple of years ago I did a talk called Word, where it was very similar to today. And it's been, for me, just an incredible thing through my life of recognizing that God can speak to me on a personal level through words that some random wrote thousands of years ago for their own reasons, for their own purposes. Maybe they are writing history of their people. Maybe they're just writing a song to God. Maybe they're writing a letter to their friends. But today, God can speak to me through those words, and that's massive for me. That has a real impact for me. And I love reading the Bible. I love studying the Bible. As I say, it's the main way that I've connected with God through the years. However, that being said, I still struggle personally with consistency in that. Over the years, there's been times where for weeks, I actually admit for months, sometimes I haven't picked up my Bible. But I love it. I love the Bible. God speaks to me through it, but I've not picked it up, sometimes for weeks or months. Or maybe I'm reading it faithfully, but suddenly I'm like, this is really boring. Like, it's got so stale and dull, and I don't know why. Or maybe I'm just doing it out of sense of duty suddenly, making me feel like a good Christian, like I'm just ticking off the right boxes, and that means I'm doing okay with God, right? And I'm sure that I'm not the only person in the room that's had that type of experience. I know that some people say, oh, I'm just not a book person. I don't read anything, so the Bible's not for me. Maybe that's what you feel. Other people might be like me, like reading it faithfully over the years and suddenly realizing, oh, this is really stale. Or maybe you love the Bible and you're really into it right now. Whoever you are in this room, I'm praying that this morning there's something for you, something that I'm going to say that's just going to touch your heart, that's going to refresh your excitement for God's word, and that's going to give you loads of fresh ideas and different ways to connect with God through the Bible. So that's the plan for today. I'm excited about it. Let's get on. So, what is the Bible? My thought for you today is that the Bible is soul food. The food analogy that I came up with, probably a bit unhealthier than Rachel's, but never mind, is Mark's dad Ray takes us all the time to these eat as much as you want restaurants where you can literally get food from all over the globe, like Mexican, Italian, Chinese, whatever you want. The chefs are there and they'll cook it up for you. And for me, that's how I see the Bible. That's what the Bible's like. It is literally this amazing fusion of textures, colours, flavours, and there are dishes to suit every single type of person. Whatever age you are, whatever experience you are in life, and whatever personality type you are, whether you like reading or not, there is something in the Bible for you. It's this incredible mix of authors and writing styles, and there's history and poetry, there's prophecy. It's amazing. There are stories, there are letters, whoever you are, and whatever you're going through right now, whatever season that your soul finds itself in today, there is truth in the Bible just waiting to explode into your heart. There's something in the Bible for you today. There's a word of truth that you need to hear. So, in Hebrews 4:12, it says the word of God is living and active. It divides between soul and spirit. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. And that's one of the most incredible things about the Bible, is that it literally can touch the very core of who you are. In John 6:63, Jesus says that his words that he speaks are spirit and life. And in the parable of the sower, he refers to God's word as being like a seed that's sown in our hearts and that grows. It's active. It's not just a passive thing. God promises in Isaiah that the words that he speaks into our hearts will not return to him void, but they're going to accomplish the purposes that he set out for them. In Psalm 1, which is right at the beginning of the book of Psalms, surprisingly, it talks about those that meditate on God's word every day, day and night, being like a well-watered, fruitful tree. And Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the Bible. And it's got some incredible things to say about what God's word is for us and can be for us. It says that the word of God revives me. It encourages me. God's word gives me life. It gives me hope. His word enables me to walk in freedom. Oh, I totally didn't mean to do that. Sorry, guys. It means I'll walk in freedom. God's word comforts me. It restores me. Gives me wisdom, guidance, understanding. It's a lamp for my feet and a light to my path. When we read the Bible and we connect with God through it, we are literally feeding our souls with truth. That's what we're doing. It is soul food. It's going to nourish the very deepest parts of us. It's going to bring healing to the places that only God can reach in our hearts that need his touch. It's going to encourage us for the walk ahead. It's going to sustain us. It's incredible. Reading the Bible at the start of every day with an open heart and open ears immediately gives God an amazing opportunity to speak right into your heart for that day. So for me then, the question is, the Bible is amazing. We've just established that. Oh, why sometimes it's really boring? Why? Why is this? So I'm quite logical. So I figure, I did an equation. So when I read the Bible, there's two things involved. There's the Bible and there's me. And the Bible's amazing. We've just established that. And the Bible is constant. It doesn't change. It's the same today as it was yesterday. Therefore, the variable in that equation is me. Yes. That was Mark's idea. So in my own personal experience, I've basically found when the Bible gets boring and stale, the problem is either my attitude or my approach to reading it. So those are the two things we're going to look at today, refreshing our attitude and refreshing our approach. So refreshing our attitude, first of all. We might be in a place today where we really need this refreshment. I'm going to list a few unhelpful attitudes that I've found in my own heart over the years, and it might be some of them might speak to you depending on where you're at. So firstly, reading the Bible is not our Christian homework. It's not just an academic exercise that's meant to excite our brains and our minds. It is not, for me, a task that needs ticking off my to-do list to make me feel a little bit better about life. It doesn't give me spiritual brownie points with God. And in itself, it doesn't make me more righteous or more holy or more spiritual, any of those things that I might start feeling proud about and polishing my halo. And it's not supposed to be a spiritual duty that just makes me feel like a better Christian. Like I said earlier, it makes me feel like I must be doing okay, right? So what should our attitude be? We've touched on this a little bit earlier, but I think it's really important that we see the Bible as an immediate and really intimate connection point with God. That's what it is. It's not a book. It is literally a point which heaven meets earth. It's a connection point that we just have access to in any moment to hear from God. So I want you guys to imagine that you've never met your real dad, and that one day you discover that he has written a letter that he's left for you. I want you to imagine how you would feel about that letter. It's full of stories, bits about himself, words of wisdom, encouragement for life. You would literally read and reread it. The pages of that letter would be worn from where you'd read it over and over. You would get to know it so well that you could quote your favourite bits. It would literally be your most precious possession. And that's what the Bible should actually be for us. That's what it is. The second thing that really struck me here that I hadn't thought about much at all before is that actually we have an incredible privilege to read the Bible. It's a privilege, guys. So in the UK in 2017, we live in a place of amazing freedom, a place of amazing privilege that actually few people in this world have ever or will ever experience. We've been born at a time when we have the whole Bible available to us. So I'm personally glad I have the New Testament as well as the Old. Like Jesus and the early Christians, you know, they had the Old Testament and stories and letters going around from this random missionary called Paul, and they had to piece it all together. We've got the whole thing. That's amazing. The Bible's in our language. Loads of translations, crazy number of books ready to help us understand it. It's not in Latin like it was in the UK years ago, chained to a pulpit where only a priest could read it and explain it to you, where if you dared to translate a copy or own a copy in English, you would literally be burnt for heresy, where you couldn't have a single original idea about it, otherwise you'd reach the same fate. You had to just believe what the established church said. We're not in that place today. We're not limited by poverty or inaccessibility like thousands of Christians are today around the globe. And not just Christians, thousands of people around the globe literally have no access to God's word. And we have it readily available. It's on the internet. It's in our homes. It's on our phones that we take with us. We have access to the Bible 24/7. We literally have more access to God's word, a greater ability to understand it, and more tools available to help us connect with God through the Bible than any other human beings have ever had before us. That's an incredible privilege, guys, but it's also a challenge. And I find myself frustrated when I'm thinking through that. Like, why do I still find it so hard to do every day? Well, for me, the answer is partly found in the second main attitude I think we need to refresh, which is our attitude towards time. So in this modern Western world, literally, we have a really interesting prevailing attitude towards time. Time is money. Time is precious. We always run out of time. We never have enough time to do all the things that we want to do. We're rushing around. We're always in a hurry, trying to fit loads into the day. We're constantly of this mindset that we have no time. It's constantly. When God asked me and Mark to do the youth, it took him about 2 years for us to agree, because literally every single time I said to him, oh, I just don't have time for that. Like, that's just the thing that we have in our hearts and our heads. We just don't have time for that. And I want to put it to you guys today that having no time is actually a lie. That is an illusion. Each one of us have complete freedom and complete control over what we want to do in every moment of our existence for the rest of eternity. Every second of the day, that belongs to you. You can choose what you want to do with it. You have the freedom to make those decisions and to choose how to spend your time. And yes, I know that we all have responsibilities. Those are responsibilities we've chosen to take. We are in control of our time, guys, and we do have time. We have a lot of time. And I know I waste a lot of time too. So yeah, we just need to be intentional and wise about how we use our time and about the rhythms of life that we let ourselves slip into. And I want to put it to you guys that time spent investing in God's word and in our relationship with him every day is literally the most valuable thing that we could choose to do with our time. It's the thing that's going to have the most impact on our lives and on our hearts, that's going to transform us. And just that one simple thing, an ongoing commitment to go, I'm going to spend 10 minutes every day with God in the Bible, or longer if you've got longer, that has the potential, and not just the potential, but it will change your life. It will change your life. And the Bible talks of an incredible blessing that God pours out on those of us who give to him our first fruits, like the first fruits of our labor, the things that's most precious to us. And I know that for me, one of the most precious things in my life is time. And if I give the best of that to God, just imagine what he can do with it. And Ben talked a little bit earlier about how as a leadership team, God's kind of taken us by the scruff of the neck over the last month and really shaken us up and gone, what are you doing with your life? Why aren't you spending time with me? You've lost your first love. Why aren't you coming to me every morning? And as a team, we've become accountable to each other to do that, because we've recognized, what are we doing? This is so important. This is the main thing. This is the only thing. This is the first thing we should be doing. And actually, for me, what excitement if as a church we grasp that same vision and we get captured by that same excitement and we go on that journey together. Just think of the things that he can do with us if we all make that commitment. So that's refreshing our attitude. I've got no idea what the time is. I always put a timer on and I never look at it. I'll try and be quick. So the first thing we need to do is refresh our attitude to the Bible and to reading it every day. The second is to refresh our approach. So the truth is, we are never going to do anything that we don't enjoy doing. So the moment that we stop enjoying reading our Bibles, after a few weeks, we'll find we've stopped reading them because we don't enjoy doing it. That's just us. We're human beings. But what you need to do when you get into that place is go, okay, let me do something fresh. Let me find a way to start enjoying this again. Because there are loads of ways. So life is really seasonal. And in each different season, you'll find that actually you can connect with God's word in a different way. And that's the thing that's fresh and new for you in that season. And we just need to be a bit intentional about finding what it is. So I'm going to go through a few ideas. Just really, really simple. Nothing exciting. Well, I think it's exciting. But so the first one, most simple thing you can do when you find you're getting bored is get a new Bible. Get a new translation of the Bible. That will just change things up a little bit. For me personally, I really like the New Living Translation. I find that it's really easy to understand. I can understand even most of the Old Testament when I read it in the New Living Translation. That's always good. It's a fantastic version. So if you find actually you're thinking, oh, when I read this book, I just don't get it. Well, get yourself a different translation. There are so many fantastic, easy to understand versions of the Bible. Another really amazing version that I'm sure most people have seen Kerry quoting from recently is the Passion Translation. This is just incredible, guys. If you haven't read or bought any books from the Passion Translation, you just need to go out and do that, especially Psalms. It will change your life. It's like somehow the translator has phrased things in this really fresh, new way, and the Holy Spirit just brings these words to life to you again that you know off by heart, and you're like, I've never seen that in there before, and it just really connects with you. It's amazing. So yeah, seriously, get the Psalms in the Passion Translation. It's amazing. So the first thing you can do is just get a new translation, buy a new Bible. The next thing that you can do is to just change your reading style. So you might be somebody that likes to focus in on one verse and just really mull that over and really meditate on it and things like that. Well, for you, maybe you just need to start reading, like read a whole chapter or get one of Paul's smaller books like Galatians or Ephesians and just read the whole book in one sitting. Just change up your reading style. And vice versa, you might be somebody who actually you're always just reading through these long, long bits of scripture each day. Well, for you, maybe this is a season to go, I'm just going to focus on one verse or one word in a verse that jumps out at me. And get your old Nourish notes out again. For those of you that don't know about Nourish, it's an incredible way to study the Bible and really get into the depths of like the different words in a verse and what they mean. If anyone's interested in that, give me your email afterwards and I will email you my notes on how to do it. It's really easy and it's fantastic. All you need is the internet, pretty much. Nourish is fantastic. So just try something new, maybe a new daily reading plan or a new daily devotional if you haven't done that for a while. The next thing you could try is getting a new journal. So journaling is amazing. It's such a good way of journeying with God. And if it's something that you haven't done for a while, maybe you've let slip or maybe you've never done it before, buy yourself a fresh journal. There's something exciting about this gorgeous looking journal with all these empty pages that you know God's going to fill with these incredible things for you. And just start writing down anything he speaks to you, whether it's scriptures, whether it's something in a talk that spoke to you, whether it's someone at the prayer place gives you a prophetic word. And just write down so you can look back over and see the amazing things that he's doing in life and the things that he wants your heart to hear and to know. So get a new journal. There's some I know on the bookshop outside, so you can do that today. My final point is get creative. Try drawing, try colouring, something arty. I'm not a very arty person, but I love to colour. So I got for Christmas from Mark this amazing Inspire Bible on the left. It's in the New Living Translation, of course. And there are bits through it where you can just colour Bible verses. And I tell you what, guys, it's amazing. It takes about 20 minutes to colour one. Well, for me, I'm a bit slow. I'm a perfectionist. So it takes ages to colour one. And that whole time, you're just like looking at the words, thinking about them, mulling them over, praying them for people. And God can speak to you in a new way as you're just letting your hand colour away and you're thinking about it, it's amazing. You can get colouring journals. That's the other thing I've started to do. It's just colouring on one page and then writing in scriptures, mainly Psalms, that God's speaking to me on the other side. And there are loads and loads of journals that you can get. This is a fantastic one. You can buy these kind of ready-made ones. This is called Scripture Doodles, God's Promises. You can get all these type of things in Quench, where actually it's kind of like a guided quiet time, but with things that you can you can draw, you can colour, you can doodle, you can write out scriptures. It's amazing. And it kind of helps, like, if you're the sort of person that a blank page just scares you, well, one of these, I think anyone could do it. It's great. And then Jean also told me about this website called RebeccaRJones.com, which again kind of takes you step by step through starting to journal in a creative way. So again, if you're a bit like me and you need like a to-do guide, like how you do it properly in case you get it wrong, then that's a good website to see. And again, I've got that website. The next thing you could do is try the Daily Audio Bible. So I'm going to get Susan up now to come and share about this. This is just a way to listen to God's word. She's going to share her experiences.
So I've mentioned this before when I've been leading meetings or I've been speaking. And Ruth mentioned a little while ago at the beginning of her talk about when we did the Word series a few years ago. And it was then when Ruth shared about Daily Audio Bible, I hadn't heard about it before. I thought, I'm going to give that a go, because I had been really struggling with making time, that time thing, to read the Bible. And I thought, yeah, do you know what? I could do this. I can download it in the morning and I can play it on my commute. So I drive in and I have it playing. But if you go on the train, then you can plug it in to your phone and just have your earphones in. And as it says up there, faith comes by hearing and and hearing by the word of God. So that's in Romans 10:17. And I thought, so if I hear it more, that might help me build up my faith. So I committed to doing it. I download it every morning. There's a guy, the guy who runs it is called Brian Harding. He's an American, but I took the time to get used to his accent. I thought that was important to just push through. And he reads something from the Old Testament, something from the New Testament, something from Psalms, and something from Proverbs, starting at the beginning of each of those, at the beginning of the year, and working all the way through. So I've got my notes here to just keep me on track, because I've only got 3 minutes. So what I found was that... And at the end of that, he also does, he prays when he's finished. And sometimes he does a sort of a short exposition over what he's read, which I found really helpful. It's just sort of helped me understand a little bit about what he's been said, or the prayer sets it in my heart. In the early days, I did find some of it a bit tedious. I'm going to be honest. I found, you know, the long genealogies a bit boring. I found, you know, at the moment we're going through in Leviticus all the requirements for sacrifice. We were going through all of the rules and regulations, and I used to find those quite tedious. But now, as I've been through it several times now, I'm finding, that's right. And I've got the links, because I've heard it so many times. I've heard the names, and I think, oh, hang on, there's a name. Yeah, that's right. I heard that last time, didn't I, when, with this. So those connections are being made by really sticking with it. And I get little aha moments every year where I suddenly go, aha, hang on. That I see now how that connects to this. Or I hear a story and I think, oh, I've never heard that before. I must have heard it before, because I have been through it now 3 times. I'm on my 4th go. So, but there's always a fresh revelation that you can get. So what I've found is that during the last 3 years, or 3.5 years I've done it, so I've just starting my 4th time through, and by the end of the year I'd have been through some bits 5 times, that I've really got a stronger spiritual understanding of God's plan for the world and for my life. I have to confess, I do sometimes have to play catch up. I kind of have a week where other things are going on. If I'm not at work, you know, I have to make sure I get that time put in my diary. And sometimes I get out of the car when I've got to work and I kind of start walking to work and think, what was that? I can't even remember any of it. But because I'm spending time in it, I know it's going in consciously as well as subconsciously. And it's making a difference to my life. I'm finding I'm connecting more with Jesus. I'm connecting more with the Holy Spirit. And it's really helped me on my journey towards intimacy with Jesus.
That's so great. And just on a practical level, if anyone's interested in that, please go and see Susan after the meeting and she will just talk you through the technicalities of like how to get on their website and download it and what podcasts are and all that type of thing. Because I could probably try, but I'm sure she'd be better at telling you about that. So finally, the other thing that you can do, and this is something that we want to suggest that everybody does, is download YouVersion onto your phone. So YouVersion is a Bible app, and it's pretty amazing. It's pretty snazzy. There's loads of things you can do on it. But as I just mentioned, I'm a little bit of a technophobe, so I'm going to get Ben to come up. He's got more experiences with this than me.